You're listening to the Speechy Side Up podcast, and today I'm joined by Danielle Reed from Sublime Speech. In this episode, we discuss her involvement in a recently published book on autism, how she manages being a doctoral student and lead SLP in her district, and what she enjoys doing on her free time.
You're listening to the Speechy Side Up podcast. This podcast will cover the flip side of traditional speech and language therapy, so you get inspired and learn from experts in the field. Here is your host, author, AAC specialist, and matcha tea lover, Vanita Litvak. She and her guests are serving up some informative and fun topics in Speechy Side Up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Speechy Side Up podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. This podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment. You can also follow along on Instagram at Speechy Side Up. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Today I'm speaking with Danielle Reed from Sublime Speech. Danielle is a school-based SLP and doctoral student with a focus on fun. I think her approach can be summed up with her motto, boring isn't beneficial, so let's just have fun. So without further ado, hi Danielle, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Why don't we start by learning a little bit about who you are, what you do today, and how you got there?
So I am Danielle Reed. I am a speech pathologist. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and then I went to school at Missouri State, which is in Springfield, Missouri, and then I moved right out of grad school. I just had to get out of Missouri, so I moved to Chicago and worked in preschools. And then I was homesick, so I moved back to Kansas City and worked in elementary schools in special programs. And then I really missed Chicago, so I moved back to Chicago and I worked in early intervention and then schools again. And then I got tired of, I guess, getting snowed on in May and moved out to Phoenix, which is where I work now in a elementary school district. It's a little different out here. Elementaries are split from our high school districts. So we have pre-K through eight. And I work as our lead speech pathologist. So I have a partial caseload. And then I also go out and I give feedback through our walkthroughs for our related service providers. I create their professional development that we do a couple times a month. I work on our leadership team, some different things like that. So that's a little bit about what I do in my job now. And then I also have my blog for about 7 years, since 2012. And then I work with Exceptional Ed, doing professional development courses and work with their podcast and other areas. And then I go to school. So a lot of different things.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like you have so much on your plate. Not only, like you said, you're an doctoral student, but you're also a lead SLP in your district. Mm-hmm. So how are you balancing all of it?
Some days so much better than other days. It's a different balance. I thought I had everything kind of, you know, all my time allocated. And then I was like, oh, I can totally do this doctoral program. It feels right. Right now is a good time for me to do it. And that just threw off my balance. So I've had to relearn how to allocate my time efficiently and be okay with the weeks where certain things have to not get done. There's weeks that my house doesn't get clean. There's weeks where I don't get to do anything on the blog. And then there's never a week I don't get to do my doctoral studies, though. That's the one constant. But it's just a different time management. I have to make sure I have blocks of time that I don't let anybody interrupt. I don't go out as much. I don't have time with friends and family as often. It's just at this point, kind of just a choice to get through this program with a greater goal in mind at the end and making sure I have all the time for that. But I think for me, the biggest difficulty has been making sure I still have all the time and energy for my job. Like my kids and my staff, they deserve 100% for me still. And that's been the trickiest part, is when I'm up until the wee hours of the morning or I'm getting up early to read, making sure I still have the energy for my students and for my staff. So It's been a different learning curve, this whole doctoral thing.
It sounds like it. And like you said, it's just a season of your life right now. And, you know, it's your main priority for now. And of course, some things do have to kind of fall to the wayside, but you know, you have to manage it like that way. And eventually you'll be over with it. And then something else will take up your time, right?
That's true. Someday. Yeah. I'll get there.
Yeah. Kim and I would always talk about it because she was like, I don't know how I always complained about not having enough time before I had kids. And now like I have no time. So you just find things to fill up that time.
I think that was definitely one of the reasons that I went for it. Now I said, there's not going to be another time in my life where I have complete control over my time like I do right now. And I'm in class with people with kids or in different seasons of their life. I'm one of the youngest students in my doctoral program cohort that I'm in right now. So it's like, I might as well just do it now. Like, I'm not going to have more energy than I do now. This is the time to just do it if it's something that I feel like is necessary for what I want to do in my life. So it's definitely worth it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now your focus is in organizational leadership, right?
Yeah. So this program's kind of different. So there's the PhD route, which a lot of SLPs go down when they want to do like research and maybe work in a college or university. We have the new SLPD programs that a lot of the clinical doctorates that a lot of SLPs are doing. But as I explored my different options, I decided that for me, what I would like to do is have a greater impact on special education kind of as a whole. I think we have such a unique skill set as speech pathologists that we don't really ever give ourselves credit for. We've seen, you know, kids in gen ed or in special programs or kind of across the board, and we have a special skill set. And I was seeing that that was lacking in a lot of the leadership that I've worked under in schools. So I decided to go into this degree program, which is organizational leadership with an emphasis in special education. So it's kind of a hybrid. I'm in a cohort with people from varying backgrounds. It's been so interesting. I've learned a lot. People from government, people from insurance, addiction and rehab, a bunch of different stuff, healthcare, things like that. And we all have our different emphasis areas. So I'm going to get to do coursework in like special ed law and like finance and things like that. But I also get to do general leadership courses and research courses and things like that with people not in education, which is kind of nice sometimes to get out of our little bubble and learn from a different perspective of what the same issues are like, but in a different area of work. So it's been really, really interesting. In the end, I'll have an EDD. So they took our master's degree. A lot of places make us go back and get a second master's in education before we can start an EDD program in special ed. So this one is one that I picked because they didn't require that.
That's good.
Definitely. Yeah,
it sounds like a great program. And I do like the fact that you said, you know, you can get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. We talked about the name of the university, but for anybody else, because I don't think we talked about it when I started, you know, interviewing you. So can you tell us what the name of that university is?
Yeah. So it's Grand Canyon University and it's here in Phoenix, but they have online programs as well. The one that I'm doing is kind of a hybrid. So I go to class most of the time. But during my content area times, like when I'm getting ready to start one in a couple of weeks, it'll be online only for special ed courses. But then I'll go back for leadership and research courses and our different dissertation requirements as well. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And when are you going to be finished with it? Do you know?
Oy. So you have to finish your dissertation first, mm-hmm. A couple hundred pages of writing and research.
Big deal.
Not a big one at all. No, I'm only slightly terrified of the entire process and our current professor is doing a great job of scaring us even more. So I think the fastest I could be done would be like April of 2021, but I don't really feel like, you know, crying every night for the next 2 years. So I think my general aim is December of that year. So it's about a 3.5 year program.
Okay. And you're a great writer, you know, if your blog is any indication, so I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, that's a big piece of it too. And I think that's why SLPs can do really well in doctoral programs is we write all the time.
Right.
So we get a lot of good practice for sure.
I didn't even think about that. So speaking of writing, you recently announced that you had the opportunity to contribute to a published book called Autism, What Schools Are Missing. What an incredible accomplishment. That's amazing. Yeah. What was that process like and where can people find it?
So I'm so excited. I think it's going to be great. Now you can get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. It has contributions from various authors, including like Temple Grandin and a couple other big names, but also people in the field in different areas. The opportunity came to me from one of my college professors, actually, who I've kept in touch with and worked with her a little bit through my blog and just through social media. We've kept in touch. And she reached out to ask if I would want to do a chapter on technology use in the schools, since that's a big piece of what I've done in my previous jobs and kind of a passion of mine. It's the reason I became a speech pathologist was AAC. So when she reached out, I kind of thought, oh, she's just asking everybody. But then I was like, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. She kept pushing me like, no, you should definitely do it. I would really like you to, you know, contribute. I think you have good information to share. So I sat down one day at Panera and I wrote out my chapter after like outlining and stuff, which I don't ever outline when I write, but I was so like feeling the pressure that I outlined and wrote and I sent it over, and they have had various editors kind of look through it and change some stuff. But I will say that one of the coolest things that's ever happened is when she sent pictures of it over of like my name in a book. I don't know. That was just
cool.
That was so cool. I didn't really even expect it to be that cool, but when I saw it and it was like my name or like my little biography or whatever, and I was just like, oh my God, I was so excited. I could almost, you know, have cried, but I'm just really, really excited. The more we get ready for it to come out and I hear about the, you know, and get to meet the different authors, I'm so excited for it to get out there. I think it's information that's really, really necessary in our schools. I mean, we have a lot of barriers we're trying to overcome for our students with autism, and the schools kind of have their backs up against a wall right now. And how can we provide what our students need? But also, I mean, our budgets just keep getting cut and cut and cut. So how can we really advocate for our kids? And that book, I think, will address a lot of those issues. I think it's going to be really helpful for parents and for clinicians and teachers for their kids. So yeah, autism, what schools are missing. I think it all, says it all in the title, but I'm really, really excited for it to come out in a couple of weeks. So pre-order it. It's available now. Oh, and all the profits from it are going to an autism charity.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So nobody's making anything off the book, which is also really, really cool. Everybody just donated their time and their knowledge. And then all of the proceeds are going to a charity for individuals with autism called Stars for Autism.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's super cool.
That's amazing. What a great opportunity. And it's like one of those things that, you know, you were probably on the fence about, and look at it, you know, like you said, that moment where you got to see your name in the book, it's just made it very surreal for you. That's so cool.
That was super cool.
So you seem to always have new materials available. What are your most recent materials that you've released?
Well, I would say I definitely used to have a lot of new materials, and then doctoral stuff got in the way. I still try to get some stuff out, especially even just free things that I'm using and I might post about on social media. And then somebody says, hey, where can I get that? So then I have to put it on TPT. Like I put out some quick articulation and vocabulary stuff for the holidays. I have a CF this year. So I came out with a clinical fellowship binder that I use with my CF to keep me organized, to give her feedback, stuff like that. Done some student self-tracking sheets. I use them with my students. I have them track their own goals. And a big one that I did over the summer, and I finished it up towards the end of the summer last year, was the Spanish-English Dictionary for Special Ed. I work in an area with a lot of Spanish-speaking parents, and we were having a hard time with our translators in the meetings understanding kind of what was the word they needed to go to for that very specific. We use a lot of, you know, jargon in our meetings. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a couple of bilingual SLPs to edit this, and it's free, and it has, I don't know, 20 or 30 pages in it of special education verbiage in Spanish and English. So I just needed something for me, but I thought it'd be also really helpful for everybody else. So those are some of the most recent ones for sure.
That's so awesome and so practical. So the Spanish English verbiage, that's on your TPT store?
Yeah, that's all on my TPT store. And that one in particular is free. I wanted to make sure everybody had access to it so that our parents who speak Spanish understand, you know, exactly what we're saying about their students. So,
right. Yeah, no, that's a wonderful resource. Now, tell me more about your experience with having a CF, and then more about like that resource that you developed as well.
So this is my first year with a CF, funny enough. I've had grad students before, but I haven't mentored before. So I have a CF who works in our district, and the binder itself has kind of some basic information. It kind of just also helps pretty up and explain out, give you more printables than the ASHA website itself. It also is very practical. So she's used it to communicate with me, do some self-ratings, It has just some information in it, skills inventories that you have to fill out, but you could use that instead of the one that Asha provides and then copy it over to Asha's one at the end. So it's just a nice organized way instead of a couple of loose leaf printouts from Asha to get things going with your CF.
Okay, that's awesome. Hey there, do you know any picky eaters or have clients with feeding and swallowing difficulties? I'm here with Allison from Healthy Height, a company that provides nutritional shakes that are clinically shown to help kids grow. Allison, can you tell us how SLPs can use Healthy Height in therapy?
Absolutely. I'll start with an example that was presented at a feeding clinic that I went to last year. And there was a patient who was on the spectrum, and according to the pediatrician, his growth was fine. He was growing on the growth curve. But when it came down to it, they were finding he wasn't nourished because he had been basically surviving on bread rolls and Applejack cereal. And so there was just huge nutritional gaps in his diet. So in a situation like that, Healthy Height is a great complement to a practitioner trying to help a child through these type of feeding issues, where it's only 4 ounces per serving, so you're not replacing a meal. It's not training a kid to drink a sugary drink to get their calories. Instead, you're using it to supplement their meal. So you're still introducing them to whole foods and the type of foods that they need to learn to eat while complementing that with the nutrition their young body needs to grow.
I love that. And is it true that you're offering a coupon code for the listeners?
We are. We're offering 30% off for all new customers. And the coupon code is Speechy30 at healthy-height.com. And we really want to encourage you to come and give Healthy Height a try. So we offer 100% money back guarantee.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Allison.
Thank you.
So I bet your free time is very valuable right now. Are there any hobbies that you do to unwind?
So yeah, I don't have a lot of free time anymore. I still watch Hulu. That's one way that I unwind. I kind of hate, it's a fun fact about me, I guess not so fun, but I really, really detest reading in general, which is not very good for working on your doctorate, but I never read for fun. A lot of people are like, oh, I read this book for fun. Reading is not fun at all for me. So I don't do it unless it's a journal article and I'm required to do it. But I really love here in Phoenix, the coolest thing is we're so close to a bunch of really awesome places. I can take a weekend trip to like Sedona, or I can get up to the Grand Canyon in like 3 hours. There's tons of like hiking and national parks around here. So whenever I have an actual week off, or, you know, our summer or winter breaks, I try to get out of Phoenix, especially in the summer. It's terrible here in the summer, and just explore, you know, the national parks and things like that around here. They're so beautiful and different than anywhere else in the country here in the Southwest. So that's definitely what I enjoy doing.
That sounds so nice. Oh, Sedona is so beautiful. Yeah. You're so lucky that you live close to it.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half maximum, depending on which trail you're going to. So you can make a day trip of it. And it is just one of the most beautiful places on earth. If anybody is thinking about going someplace just to relax and unwind and be in a quiet place, like you're close to Sedona, which you can go shopping and go to spas and stuff. But like as soon as you're on a trail, it's so quiet and you're like by yourself. And even in peak times when a lot of people are on the trails, you're still like by yourself for a good majority of the time on your hike. So it's so nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Southwest, I think, flew direct to Phoenix. So we flew into Phoenix and then we drove to Sedona. I can't remember where we stayed. We might have stayed in Phoenix, but we were so sad that we didn't stay in Sedona because it was so pretty and we ate there for dinner. And when the sun went down over the red rocks, it was like something out of
it's magic. You know,
it is magic. It's like a screensaver. It's so pretty.
Which sounds ridiculous. And I probably would have been listening to this and going, oh my gosh, it's just rocks. Right. But like when you're there, you just sit there and you're like, oh my gosh, this is just, it's incredible what nature has created around here. Like some of the rock creations, like I went up to Bryce Canyon a couple of times and that's unlike anything you've ever seen in your life. The way those formations have been created, it's just so incredible. So I've just really been trying to take advantage of being so close to all of those parks, and we're surrounded by mountains here in the Valley of the Sun. So there's tons of hiking and things, which mountain hiking, not my thing. Trail hiking, I'm down. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, you know, and it's funny too, that you were talking about reading. So like when I was going through undergrad and grad school, I hated reading for pleasure too, but I don't know if it's because I just read so much and I associated it, like it became like a negative association with just having, you know, being required to do it, reading journal articles. But now I really do enjoy reading. So
yeah, I wish I did. I don't know. I've never liked it. And my mom and my sister have the bug. They love reading. They will do it all the time. When I was a kid though, I would start like 6 books and never finish them. I just get so bored with them. I just move on. I can't quiet my brain enough to sit in a book and marinate in it. But I can listen to audiobooks when I drive home. That's fine. Things like that. But to make myself sit and read a book is pretty much torture for me. That's just a personality thing for me. So I'll listen to all the audiobooks anybody can recommend, but I will not hold that book in my hand and read it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of book studies in our district. So I think I'm in like 3 book studies right now for my various departments that I'm working with. And I literally will read the chapter the night before because I just cannot make myself do it any earlier. So I wish I loved it, but it's okay. There's other things I enjoy that others don't too. So
yeah. And it's like that universal design for learning. Like you prefer maybe listening to it rather than, you know, reading it. And also I feel like with a book, they take so long to read. And if, you know, it's like watching a TV show, like some TV shows are really good, some episodes are really good and some aren't. And I feel like you waste so much time if it's a bad book, you know?
Yeah. Or if it starts out good and then it gets really boring halfway through and then everybody's like, no, just finish it. I was like, well, the middle 200 pages are the worst ever. I don't want to keep reading. So yeah, it's hard for me to get through a book for sure, but that's okay. I can do, like I said, audiobooks. I can do those. So that's what I usually do when I drive home. It takes me like 20 hours to drive back to Kansas City from Phoenix.
Wow.
So podcasts and audiobooks are kind of the way that I get through like the states of Kansas and Oklahoma, like the states that are so flat and nothing around. I have to have something to keep my brain engaged for sure. So
that makes sense. Yeah. So let's talk about your blog a little bit. What made you start it?
So I started it in my second year as an SLP. I just moved back to Kansas City. I inherited a very interesting collection of like 1970s therapy materials. It was terrible. And I was coming in after an SLP who had some different issues, personal issues in her life. And so she wasn't maybe necessarily providing very, very engaging therapy to my students. So they already were kind of disengaged coming to speech. And I was getting so bored too. I'm a person who likes to make therapy fun and get, you know, buy-in from my students. And I couldn't get there with the materials that I had. So I started, you know, trying different things, looking online for ideas, trying different ways to make the materials I had more interactive, more fun. Making my own stuff. And then I was like, I'm going to forget everything I've done. There's no way I can remember this. This was kind of pre-Instagram, so I couldn't just Instagram everything I did. I didn't know there was a time that was pre-Instagram. It's kind of funny to think about that now, but circa 2012 when we didn't have social media, right? So I just started like a blogger and just started like writing my own ideas down so I kind of could refer back to them later. And I was like, well, if somebody finds this helpful, that's great, whatever. I'm mostly doing it so that I don't forget. And then a lot of people started noticing, and then TPT kind of started up. So I was like, well, I'll just put everything on TPT and host it there, because hosting it on Dropbox for people to download, things like that, was getting a little messy. So that's, I kind of stumbled into it. I didn't go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to blog and help people for 7 years or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to make materials that people are going to download and recognize me at Asher, or weird things like that, that are still really, really surreal to me. I just started so I wouldn't forget what I was doing, and so that my kids would be more engaged in therapy. And now I'm just so thankful that I did that, because if I've even helped one or two people with anything I've posted, it makes it worth it, because we're all in a profession to help, you know, individuals. And if I can help people to help them, you know, it shows that you can have a greater impact. So, but yeah, I just like to have a lot of fun on there. Like you said earlier, I hate being bored, like, and I don't want my kids to be bored. We will drill and kill Arctic all day, but we'll do it in a fun way that makes them want to come back and do it again, even in fourth or fifth grade. So I just want to marry evidence-based practice with something fun for them. So that's what I do. That's what I try to do.
That's very sublime of you.
Yeah, I picked that name because it was an alliteration.
That's okay, cool. Yeah. I love it.
A good alliteration, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm so glad that you started it. It's helped so many people, I'm sure. And you're doing exceptional ed now. So talk a little bit about that as well.
So Exceptional Ed, we do online conferences. We have one coming up, actually, the Special Apps Update Conference, which are going to be, they're all free conferences. If you take them live or within the week or two that it's recorded and available to you. So we just wanted to help get as much really, really good information out to therapists. We know there's a lot of constrictions with, you know, budgets or travel time off away from your family. So Mei-Ling Chan is the CEO and founder. I'm a co-founder and I'm our chief experience officer, which means I answer all your emails. And I edit all of our, I started editing our podcast, but now somebody else does that, thank goodness. I still edit most of our live courses into recorded courses for everybody. So we just do a lot of fun and very good content for PD. I've learned so much because I have to watch them, but we have really great presenters on there. I'm so excited for what we provide to SLPs, and we have some OT courses coming out, some special education courses. We have courses in different languages now, which is super cool. So a lot of great stuff happening over at Exceptional Ed.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. And I love female entrepreneurs. So keep
And Mei's awesome. So
yeah, she is.
Follower. She's doing some cool stuff in special education and disability advocacy and things like that. So
yeah, she's really, really awesome. What's her name of her podcast? Exceptional Ed, right?
Well, she has Exceptional Leaders. Okay. And then a couple other podcasts under us are like Speech Science or Talking with Tech. Those are some of our other podcasts that we have under our Exceptional Network broad, you know, podcast network. So,
okay, that makes sense.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So let's go ahead and head into our game. So
okay.
I just wanted to fire some questions at you. I'm sure you can answer them pretty quickly. They're more just like personal questions, like your favorite things. So
okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Let's do it. All right. What's your favorite food?
Who doesn't love mac and cheese?
Oh, it's so good.
You never outgrow that one. It's so good.
So good. All right. Your favorite place that you've ever been?
That's hard. Bryce Canyon is probably my favorite right now.
It's Where is beautiful. That? Is that near you?
It's in Utah. It's kind of really close to like Zion and Arches. It's kind of in between. And I don't think a lot of people know about it, but you have to look it up. It's just gorgeous and you can hike into it and it really easily, like my mom, who's in her, she would probably hate me, but she's in her 60s. I made her hike into it with me, over fall break, and she did it and it was just, it's great. So it's accessible for, all ages. So it's really cool. Oh,
perfect. All right. What would you do if you weren't an SLP?
I would probably be like a photographer or something within graphic design.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. And what's your favorite TV show?
I am really enjoying, like, is it A Million Little Things or something like that? It's a new show this year. It's probably my new favorite show.
What's it about? I don't think I've heard about that one.
The first episode, it's like about a group of friends. But in the first episode, one of their friends, he commits suicide, but it's about the friendships surrounding that incident, and some of the different things that happened before and after. It's really good. It's really, really interesting. It's a deep show, but it's really, really good. But it's just really good. It's well written.
I'll check it out. Okay, last question. What is an odd thing that you have in your therapy bag or your bag right now?
Well, I'm moving this week, so a lot of odd things are in places.
Right.
I have some hairspray in my bag right now, which I don't ever really use hairspray, but, and I'm not sure why it's there, but there's some hairspray in my bag this week.
Okay. Yeah. That's a little odd. That's funny. I had done that question with somebody else and, oh, it was Rebecca from Adventures in Speech Language Pathology or Speech Pathology. And she's like, I just have teeth hanging out in my bag.
Yeah, there's things that end up in there.
Yeah.
There's stuff that ends up in my bag. My kids will put stuff because I sit my purse. Well, it's like my computer bag or whatever. I set it on my desk to keep it off the floor. We're in Arizona. We get critters. So every once in a while, they'll put something in there. And that always makes me laugh when they think it's hilarious that they snuck something into my bag when I wasn't looking. But most of the time, it's a pretty tame situation in there. More so than when I was in early intervention. And that was very, very interesting. The things I went home with sometimes in early intervention, good and bad, that was always really, really interesting.
So. Yeah, you're right. They do like to stick things in your bag and you're like, what is this slime doing in here?
Yeah, the weirdest thing I ever got in my bag in early intervention was a bottle of camel's milk. I first of all didn't know that camels made milk. I did learn that. And then I had a little kiddo who kind of unintentionally kind of hit me in the eye pretty hard. And his mom, the only thing she had frozen at the time was like a bottle of camel's milk. So that's what I went home with. She wanted me to try it. That was interesting. So that's the weirdest thing that's ever ended up in my bag for sure.
That is very funny. Where'd you even buy camel's milk from?
She got it frozen. And you know, our parents, as well-intentioned as they are, sometimes will chase cures to things like autism and stuff like that. And that was one that she kind of thought would help with that. It's supposed to be really, really good for you. It has a lot of high levels of certain things in it. I can't even say what they are, but there's some farms in like Wisconsin or Minnesota that have camels that they milk and send it out. I don't know, but that's how she got it. Mail order camel's milk.
Okay. I'll link it in the show notes in case anybody's
exactly.
So if people want to follow along on your journey, where can they find you?
I think on everything, I'm just at Sublime Speech, Instagram, Twitter, occasionally Facebook. That's about it. But yeah, you can always follow along. And then sublimespeech.com is the blog.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to, you know, keep up with your doctoral journey and the book. Its release is coming out soon. Yeah. So that's exciting. And I hope we get the chance to talk again. This was fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks so much again for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Until next time. Did something in this episode really resonate with you? Want to know what other SLPs thought about it too? While you might feel isolated in your work setting, every week you're tuning in with thousands of other SLPs. Crazy, right? You can connect with some of these other SLPs on the private Speechy Side Up Pod Facebook group so you don't have to feel like you're doing this alone. We just ask that you leave a positive review before you request to join. This helps to spread the word and get more interviews with experts in our field. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you on Facebook.